Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our evening service. Glad that you've been able to join us, and we're looking forward to a great evening of worship together. God bless you in your home. God bless you wherever you are, being able to listen to the service and perhaps even on YouTube later. This evening, we've got something for the children, we've got something for the teens, and for all of us, there's going to be something also this evening. So let us join together in prayer, quieten our hearts, forget about the world outside, and concentrate on worshiping our Lord together. Let's pray. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, you have made us a family, one family in God. Every person saved is our brother and sister in Christ. And we have people from every tribe and language and tongue around the world. And thank you for the individual families, households that make up the church family of Central Mountains Baptist Church. We want to seek you this evening, and we want to worship you with full hearts as children, as teens, as adults. And we want to come to you this evening, and we pray that our worship would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yes, indeed, we want to seek him, and we want our children to be saved. We want our teens to be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want all of us to be devoted fully in worship to him. We don't want any of the distractions of the world, do we, to devote us away from a pure worship and a pure devotion to the Lord Jesus. Well, if you'd like to take your Bibles, please, I'm going to give you some time because I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles and chapter 34. 2 Chronicles 34. So it goes 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And we've been through every one of those books. We're coming to the very end of our series called The Shepherds. And the title of this evening's message is Save Time. So have your Bible open there at 2nd Chronicles chapter 34. And I hope you've taken time to print up your sheet so that you're able to follow along in regard to the verses that we'll be using outside of 2 Chronicles. Well, if you haven't remembered to print it up, try and remember that each week. Make a note for yourself to do that, but I'll be reading out the verses and you'll be able to hear them. So, yeah, I know we've just prayed, but let's take some time to ask God's help as we come to his word. Let's do that together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word of God. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as we come to it now, it would open out for us. We pray, Lord, that there'd be something here for the children, the teens, and indeed all of us. Thank you for the life of Josiah, and we pray that we would learn from his life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, 29,200 seems like a pretty large number, and I guess it is. It is the number of days that you have to live if you were to live to 80 years of age, 29,200 days. The message tonight is time is valuable. We need to save time. As the scripture says in Ephesians, we are to redeem the time. We're to use the time for the Lord. Please don't throw time away. You have time and use it for him. The editors, to the editors of Nature magazine, the creationist by the name of Taz Walker, I don't know whether you've come across any of Taz's writings, but Taz Walker is a creationist and he defends the faith very, very well indeed. Well, he wrote to Nature magazine and he quoted Richard Dawkins. I hope all of you know, well, maybe all of you know that Richard Dawkins is a fairly famous atheist. And he quoted Richard Dawkins as saying, "We live in a universe which has no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference." So said Richard Dawkins, the atheist. Well, Taz Walker replied to that in the magazine, and he said, "But if the universe is indifferent, why should you care? And why are you concerned about what other people believe? Why do you try to change their minds? Why does it matter in the long term if there is nothing but pitiless indifference? In your indifferent world, who gave you the right to interfere in others' lives? You make such bold statements," he's still speaking to Mr. Dawkins, "bold statements like humans evolved, body and mind, from earlier primates. But Taz Walker says, I suspect you are really saying this for your own benefit. You really hope that it is true, but deep down you suspect it is not true. Well, that would be a deep insecurity indeed. And I'd comment, for those who trust in the God of the Bible, it's a win-win situation. First of all, we win because we have eternity before us. We're going to spend the eternity with the Lord Jesus. And also, we win because we have a lifetime filled with purpose, peace, joy, and love as we interact in other people's lives. But for those who reject God, it's lose-lose. Even if they are right, they lose. Their philosophy actually gives them no basis for purpose in this life, and that's why so many of the young people of today are committing suicide, purposeless, hopeless existence if they are right. But if they're wrong, they lose too, because they face a terrible eternity, and we have to be so concerned about that so that we will reach out to them. Anyway, Taz Walker continues talking to Richard Dawkins, the atheist, and he says, is it insecurity that is driving you? Is that why you are so hostile toward creation scientists who start with the Bible and show how the evidence fits? Your theories are clearly designed to exclude any reference to the Creator, but it's not too late to change your mind. And then it is quoted, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. If you're alive today, it is not too late to turn to your Creator. And that was Hazard's message for Richard Dawkins. The message of Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 is use your youth for God. Use your time for God. Those who deny God are trying to avoid God, like a criminal tries to avoid a police officer. We need to admit that God is there and that we will answer him one day. So we need to seek him early. And we need to give our lives to him to be controlled and to live for him the allotted days that we have. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34 and verse 1 in your Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. So how would Josiah use his days? He was 39 when he died. The total days in Josiah's time account that he had to use was only 14,245, much just about half those that he would have had if he lived to 80. Josiah's life is recorded in three chapters: 2 Chronicles chapters 34 and 35, and 2 Kings chapter 23. And when you read through those three chapters together, we find that there are at least 10 lessons for us from Josiah's life. Tonight we're going to sit at the first three. We're going to look at Josiah's early years as king, and they are recorded for us, as Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. We have this record of King Josiah's life so that we might learn from his life. The first lesson from Josiah's life for us to consider is a word to the children. A word to the children. Get saved early. Please, get saved early. How did Josiah use his 31 years as king? Well, the summary says in verse 2, and what he did was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, that's the summary. But it took Josiah a little while to get there. We read in verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. So the 8th year of Josiah's reign is when Josiah is 16 years old. Josiah got saved at 16. I am so glad about that, but it did mean that 8 years of his kingship were now lost. He couldn't use those for the Lord. It also means that 16 years of his life were lost. He couldn't use those for the Lord either. And so there was only 8,400 days left for him to use in his service to God. Now, that Josiah got saved at 16 was a result of those who were around him. His mother's name is not mentioned in 2 Chronicles 34 in the scripture we've just been reading, but his mother's name is mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 1. That verse says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. His mother's name was Jedidah. Tidadar means beloved of God, and it's very similar to Solomon's other name, his second name. We read about that second name in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. Then David comforted Bathsheba, so she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, so he called his name Jedidah, which means beloved of the Lord because of the Lord. So Jedidah and Jedidah are two similar names, male and female, and it means beloved of God. Was that true of Josiah's mother? Well, if she was a godly influence of him, if she was beloved of the Lord, as her name suggests, she had a very, very difficult life because she was married to the wicked King Ammon. There were also other influences in Joseph's life. His mother was one, and possibly that was a godly influence. But Hilkiah was one of the major influences in Josiah's life. He was the high priest at that time. And we'll meet him later because he was the one that rediscovered the book of the law. He was a godly high priest that was also involved in Josiah's reformations. He would have had much access to the king, and Josiah would have been influenced by him. Second, the prophets. Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah were all alive and ministering during Josiah's reign. Just one example of the proof for that is Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 1, which says, "The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah." And the other prophets were alive during his time as well. The people of the land had become sick of the wickedness of Ammon and the other wicked kings. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 23, "Then the servants of Ammon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Ammon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place." So there was the high priest, there was the prophets, and there were the people that were surrounding Josiah, all influencing him for good. But despite these influences, it took 8 years for the influences of his father, Ammon, to be overcome. And Josiah, at that age of 16, turned to righteousness. Now, children, I'm just going to speak to you in a second, but before I do, I want to say a little bit more to those that are older. Henry Van Loot wrote, "The people who touch our, the people whose lives that touch ours when we're young have a great influence on our lives." Henry Van Loot was 80 years old when he wrote that, and he could remember the influence of his mother and father that helped him to come to Christ. He also remembered his blind grandmother who touched his life with the goodness of the Lord and reciting Bible passages to Henry off by heart. After the salvation, several faithful pastors, school teachers, and others also influenced his life for good. So those early influences in our lives can be very important indeed. Thank God for all those who have helped us and guided us so that we might have a knowledge of the Lord Jesus and have a relationship with him. So parents, please pray for your children to be saved early. Pray for them to be saved early and have a very spiritual heart yourself in love for God and seek to impact the lives of your children for the Lord. So kids, I hope you're looking this way. I hope mum and dad gathered you if you were playing at the side or something, and I hope you're listening to me right now. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to be King of Australia at 8 years of age? I wonder what you would want if you were king. Would you like an ice cream shop on every corner where you could get free ice cream? That would be pretty good, isn't it? Wouldn't it? But if I had you sitting here before me and you're able to answer back to me, I wonder what things, I'd like to hear the kind of things that you would like if you were king or queen of Australia. Actually, I think it'd be pretty scary to be king of Australia at 8 years old. I think you'd need the help of mum and dad. I think you would need the help of others in your life that you trusted too. And what would be the very best thing that could happen to you? Well, I think the very best thing that could happen to you would be that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, because that would enable you to be a good king or a good queen. Now, mum and dad no doubt have talked to you about getting saved. You know who Jesus is, don't you? Can I hear someone saying that Jesus is God? He was the man who was God in the flesh, Well, if that's what you answered me, you're certainly right. And what did Jesus do for us? Well, that's right. He died in our place. We deserved to die for our sin, but Jesus took the punishment for us. Have any of your brothers or sisters ever took the punishment for you? I don't think so. But Jesus Christ took the punishment for us, and we're very grateful for that. And so each of your children should say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying in my place. I believe that you died and rose again. I believe that you're God in the flesh, and I want to give you my life. I want you to rule my life. I want you to show me the way to live, Lord Jesus. Children, what I'm saying to you is you should trust the Savior, and Mom and Dad can help you to do that, that you're with tonight. Of course, if you're a teen still not saved by now, you need to get saved. The days are slipping away. You want to use your days for the Lord. Today is the day of salvation, and use your time from here on for the Lord Jesus. Certainly not. Let's not waste time. Let's not kill time, as people talk about, but let's redeem the time for him. The clock is ticking, and you don't know the time that you have left. Josiah just had 8,000 days. Second lesson from Josiah's life for us to learn from is a word to the teens. A word to the teens, seek purity early. Seek purity early. Verse 3 says, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the Lord God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. So the 12th year of Josiah's reign makes him 20 years old. He was king, so he had great authority to do what he wanted to do, but it was still a very bold thing for him to do at just 20 years of age. From 16 to 20, his life was being prepared for this day. I'm not saying that at 16 years of age he decided to do this at 20, but I'm saying that each year of his teenage years he grew closer and closer to the Lord, so that by the time that he reached the age of 20, he was able to make a very public stand for the Lord Jesus. Let's take note of what he did. So the second part of verse 3 says, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. Now, the high places were the hills where idolatry took place. The wooden images were dedicated to Asherah, the goddess of fertility, and so were the metallic and molded images. So this verse says Josiah purged Jerusalem and Judah of that idolatry. The word purged refers to purification. He decontaminated the land of idolatry, like we might decontaminate a land after a nuclear explosion. He removed the pollution of idolatry in the land. No doubt this would have upset many people, so Josiah needed to be very firm in his foundation of what he was going to do in dealing with that idolatry. Verse 4 continues, they broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down, and the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke to pieces and made dust of them and scattered on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Every form of idolatry was destroyed. Every priest who had served the idols was executed, and his bones, their bones were burned. He just wanted to remove every piece, every trace of idolatry in the land. And the burning of the bones, of course, pictured the judgment of God on these men. Verse 6. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, all around with axes. So what those places are tells us that he did this right throughout Israel, to the north and to the south, to the western side of the Jordan River. Verse 7. When he had broken down all the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down all the incense altars around the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. So this was a very aggressive cleansing. in place after place right through the land of Israel, because God had been at work in Josiah's heart. In the last of his 10 years, he had drawn close to the Lord in all purity and in all holiness, and he'd begun to hate the idolatry that was in the land. It was just exactly like his great-great-great-grandfather, King David. King David wrote in Psalm 31 and verse 6, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I've hated those who turn to idols, and I trust in you, David wrote, and Josiah did exactly the same. From the time that Josiah was saved, it was clear that he had devoted his heart in all holiness and purity. And age 20, he was ready for this very public stand against idolatry. Jun Yun of California says that at 25 years of age, you have 1.1% chance of dying before the age of 26. And if you could continue with that particular risk constant, then you would live to be 1,000 years old, as if that's what we wanted. Calico is a company set up to research for age-defying drugs. Working on their team is a scientist that has biogenetically engineered earthworms to live 6 times longer than they normally do. If you're an earthworm, I'm not sure you'd want to live 6 times longer chewing earth every day, but he did that. Another team are recording the genomes of all those that live to more than 100 years of age. And every year we spend billions of dollars on medicines and vitamins to stay alive. But stop and think. It is not the quantity of our lives that count. It is the quality of our lives that count. It is our purity, what we're doing for the Lord. And dear teens listening tonight, you need to go after that in your teens. Your choices in the teen years will determine who you marry, and who you marry will determine the course of your life. Make good choices. Make pure choices for the Lord Jesus. The teenage years are years of great peer pressure on the one hand and great temptation on the other. Make it your aim, young man. Make it your aim, young woman, in your teen years to be victorious in your Christian life. John wrote in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13, I write to you, young men, but he could have written to the young women too, because you have overcome the wicked one. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. It would be so easy in the teenage years to let the world push you into its mold. But as Christian teens, you can be liberated from the culture of your day. You don't have to be a slave to watching what everyone else watches, to listening to what everyone else listens to, or wearing what everyone else wears. You can set your heart to draw close to the Lord Jesus and seek him only. That would be a great thing to do. Yeah, I know you want to be liked. Yeah, I know more than most what it can cost to lose friends and to be shunned by people because of the choices you're making. And I'm sorry for that. But pleasing the Lord Jesus is so, so much better than pleasing the crowd. Can I give you this challenge tonight, teens? Be heroic for the Lord. Be heroic for the Lord. During World War I, many teens were willing to give their lives for the cause of their day. The name of one was Bill Jackson. Bill Jackson enlisted in the AIF during World War I, and he was posted to the Western Front. June 25, 1916, he was a scout for a party of 40 soldiers. During the assault, he captured an enemy soldier and brought that soldier back through no man's land. Now, you know, in those days of that war, there were trenches built. The enemy would build a trench and the Allies would build a trench. And the area between the two trenches was called no man's land. He went there, he captured an enemy soldier, brought him back. Then he went back again, and he rescued a wounded Allied soldier. He brought him back to the trench. He went back a second time for another Allied wounded soldier, and this time he got shot in the arm. But he managed to get the wounded soldier back, and in the trench, one of the officers put a tourniquet around his arm. He went out a third time into no man's land. And again, he brought back another wounded soldier. Eventually, Bill Jackson had to be transported by a hospital ship to England. and there his right arm was amputated. For his heroic efforts, Bill received the Victoria Cross, the highest award for bravery for Australian soldiers. He was just 17 when he went to war because he lied about his age, not something I say he should do. And he was 19 when he received the Victoria Cross, the youngest Australian ever to receive that reward. Teens, you are in a battle too, a spiritual battle. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." But we are to stand for the Lord. He's given us the victory gown, and we stand. Teens, I ask you, please be heroic for the Lord. Have you fallen? Confess, get up, and fight again. It's the Lord himself that will hand out the awards for Christian heroism, being brave for the Lord Jesus. Teens, be heroic. Cleanse yourself of every idol like Josiah did. An idol is any affection of our hearts that takes us away, anything that diverts our attention away from love and devotion from the Lord Jesus. Seek victory and purity and holiness that loves Jesus Christ alone. Be heroic, please, teens. The third lesson from Josiah's life for us to follow is a word to the young adults. Seek worship. A word to the young adults. Seek worship now. Verse 8 begins in the 18th year of his reign. Now, 18 years into Josiah's reign makes him now 26. More is written of Josiah's 18th year than any other year of his reign, and we're going to look at more next time. He had now been walking with the Lord for 10 years. He experienced victories in his teen years. The land had been cleansed and purged of idolatry, sanitized against idolatry. But at the age of 26, Josiah moved closer to the Lord in what we would describe as a personal revival, a revival of heart and dedication to God. And the closer he moved to the Lord, the closer the Lord brought him to himself. We read in verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God, to repair the temple. It is a put off and put on that we're familiar with in the New Testament. Idolatry has been put off, and now they have to put on in their lives the worship of the living God. And nationally, for that to happen nationally, it meant the temple had to be repaired, enhanced, and made ready for worship. I'm not quite sure why there are 6 years between the put off of the idolatry and the put on of repairing the temple, but it maybe took 6 years to collect the funds that would be needed for the repair of the temple, because we read in verse 9, when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites who kept the doors had gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin, and which they had brought back to Jerusalem. Then they put it in the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. They gave it to the craftsmen and the builders to buy hewn stone and timber for beams and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. Their overseers were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites, sons of Merari, Zechariah, and Meshullam, the sons of the Kohathites, to supervise. Others of the Levites, all whom were skillful with instruments of music, were over burden bearers and were overseers of all who did work in any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. But once the funds were in place, those verses tell us, they got to work and they did the work faithfully. Notice verse 12, and the men did the work faithfully. There were supervisors for accountability, and it was done decently and in order. There was a whole hierarchy of authority that went all the way back to King Josiah, for it was his heart and his will that got the work going. Everything rises and falls on leadership, and here Josiah sought to promote the worship of God. It was important for Josiah to make sure that there was integrity in rebuilding the temple and the money being used wisely. And each man contributed his own skills to the advancement of the work so that worship could happen. Whatever our service for the Lord, it's going to contribute to the worship of the Lord. Are we doing what we can to contribute to the worship of the Lord? You have been saved. You have fought those teen battles, and you've had victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And now you're ready to serve, and in serving, promote the worship of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in your heart to worship. It is in your heart to love him. Putting our hands to the plow in service and not looking back is evidence of a revival of heart, the revival of heart that King Josiah had. We read in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, but Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Genuine love and worship will ensure that you don't look back, that your whole heart is given to him and you continue to serve him. So you're a young adult, a Christian young adult. Please take this quick quiz. Do you serve the Lord? Do you worship him and influence others to worship the Lord? Because you love him. Do you deliberately turn away from attractive distractions to worship the only one who can truly satisfy all of your desires? You have been valiant in your own private battles, and now you want to love, serve, and worship him in any way you can, daily, weekly, and you want to encourage the love and worship of God from others also. Okay, we need the wisdom of age like Josiah's advisors, but yes, we need the energy of youth too. We need the young adults involved in ministry in this local church. We need them wanting to give their lives to him. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," that's your whole life, everything that is within you, "a living sacrifice." The whole of that burnt offering went on the altar. Nothing was left out. You put yourself on the altar of sacrifice. You say, "Whatever it costs, Lord, I will serve you." This is wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There it's translated reasonable service, but other translations say it's your acceptable worship, because the service that is spoken of there is the service that is in the worship of God. So it's both and. Worship and service go together. It comes from the one heart that loves God and seeks to promote his worship. So tonight what I'm saying is, children, please be saved early. Teens, I want you to be heroic for the Lord in the purity of your lives and in holiness before the Lord Jesus. And young adults, worship him with all devotion and service. It's not rocket science. It's using our days for the Lord Jesus. Children, teens, adults, all the way through, it belongs to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your word tonight, and thank you for the life of Josiah. We want to pray for any child that needs to trust Christ as their Savior. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they would think about that tonight. We pray for any team listening that they would dedicate themselves in their hearts to win the battles of life, to be holy for the Lord Jesus, to be pure in heart, for they shall see God. And for all of us, Lord, we pray that we might be dedicated in love and worship, nothing held back. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.